My name is Jess, and I am the creator and maintainer at the moment of a website called Sexhead, which is found at sexhead.net.au. Our purpose is to shine the light on all things sex and sexual in Australia, and to put people in touch with those who are in the know to answer some of their questions. And today, I am interviewing the beautiful Tamra. How do you pronounce your last
name? It's Mercica, and I'm just stoked that you got my first name right because I often get called Tamara.
Tamra Mercica, who's from down in Melbourne, and she is the creator of the fantastic resource Getting Naked. So thank you very much for agreeing to do our interview today, Tamra.
Pleasure, thank you.
Now, my first question, I have been exploring Getting Naked, and I think it's absolutely fantastic resource. I'm loving the fact that you're not just focusing on one aspect of people's challenges that they might be facing in their life, but you're focusing on lots of different aspects of things that can get us down and maybe affect how we feel about our own selves. What was your inspiration when you decided to create Getting Naked?
Well, it was actually my own personal journeys and needing to clear a lot of mental gunk that led to me, you know, sharing these insights and this information that I now offer in the courses that you mentioned and also through one-on-one sessions. Yep. And so it all started back in my teens. I experienced depression and by the time I hit my early 20s, I'd become a risk to myself with frequent suicide attempts. Mm-hmm. Yet it wasn't until I was told, you know, you're going to be put in a mental home that I went, oh my gosh, I have this real problem and I actually need to work this out.
Yep.
And at that point, you know, I tried lots of different medications and therapists, and while they helped manage the depression, none of them could actually get rid of it. And they told me, you know, you're a severe case and you're always going to need medication. And so I just started experimenting with different ideas, different concepts, did a lot of research and essentially used myself as a guinea pig, trialing all sorts of things to help me get better.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of study into the subconscious mind, so how it shapes how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
Because essentially, you know, we're programmed as children to think and behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And once you learn how to clear that subconscious programming, then the depression can't exist. And that's what was the case for me.
Yeah.
So once I cured myself of depression, I then went on to develop a 10-session program where I could get a client depression and pill-free, and have since helped thousands of mental health clients to do the same thing. And I actually ended up sharing my journey in my first memoir, which is also a toolkit for overcoming depression, and that book's called The Upside of Down. So, I mean, you know, that's essentially what started me on this self-healing journey and saw me create courses that help people overcome their problems, their fears, their anxieties, the struggle. You know, we're not taught the importance of having a healthy relationship with self, but ultimately it's our relationship with self that sets the stage for the rest of our life.
It's something that I myself have noticed as well. I think there's a lot of tools out there that we tend to be able to discover as adults, but they're not really introduced to us as children.
No, in school we get taught economics and we get taught how to spell and we get taught all of these things, which are great tools, but we don't actually get taught life skills.
Yeah.
And we don't get taught the importance of self-love. And if we love ourselves, you know, we no longer care what others think of us. We no longer fear failure. We no longer let negative mind chatter hold us back.
Yes.
Instead, we have the confidence to strive forward and create the life that we dream of. So, you know, that is the essence of what I do. I teach people how to strip off the personal barriers, stopping them having that all-important self-love. And I do believe that it should be getting taught in schools.
Definitely, definitely. I think there's something to be said about someone who can go on such an in-depth personal journey and experiment with lots of different tools and to find the ones that are most suitable, and then to also be able to craft them into an educational tool that can then be taught to others. I think that's very admirable.
Thank you. It was a huge journey, and I suppose back then I was a perfectionist, and that sort of was used to my advantage because I was like, no, I'm going to find the answer. I'm going to work this out, and I don't care how many people tell me I can't do it. I'm going to overcome depression. And then, you know, that led on to creating all the other things that I've created in my life as well, because the formula that I found for overcoming depression is the same formula that I use for, well, attracting in, you know, my perfect partner. And I just got engaged last week, 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. to, you know, building a business, to getting over stage fright, all of those things. It all comes back down to loving yourself, essentially.
Definitely. One thing that I will ask you, you yourself, you come across as someone who's very positive and very bubbly and very passionate about going out and following your own dreams and getting what it is that you want out of life. Do you find that you get an adverse reaction when you tell people that you yourself have actually experienced depression and suicidal thoughts?
People tend to be, I suppose, surprised because mm-hmm. I am such a positive person. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I open up about depression, it's like it just opens the way for them to talk about their issues. Because yes. what I've found is as soon as you let down the barriers and you show your own vulnerability, then it invites the other person to do the same. Yes. And it's only when you do that that you can have those deep connections with people, whether it be, you know, just a friendship, whether it be a new stranger that becomes a friend, whether it be in a romantic relationship. So I feel being this open and honest about what I've gone through, it helps others and gives them permission to actually, you know, seek help and realize that there is hope.
Yes, and I think that's something that's very valuable for a lot of people who feel very very ashamed in our society about suffering from a mental illness. So it's good that we can have strong ambassadors to show us that it can be changed. So that's fantastic. Yeah. now, one of the things that you talk about on Getting Naked is that and as you've just said, a lot of this has come from your own personal journey and the things that you've learned along the way. And you emphasize on Getting Naked that when you're looking at helping people through their own sexual journey and their sexual awakening, you did a lot of research and trial and error and finding things that worked for you. So how has your teachings been affected by your own sexual awakening and sexual exploration?
Ooh, I like that question. Like I said, you know, everything I share in my sessions, my courses, my talks, it's all based on that personal experience. And mm-hmm. it was actually after I experienced an orgasm on the massage table that I started to get a little bit curious about sex and, you know, wanting to know how the hell that was possible, given that it was with a woman and I am, you know, sexually attracted to men and there was no genital stimulation. I wanted to know how could that happen? And what I found when I started researching this was that you could actually have an energetic orgasm. So an orgasm without any physical touch whatsoever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Lady Gaga was apparently having them, but I thought, yeah, I want to have some of those. And so, you know, again, I used myself as a guinea pig, doing lots of study, lots of experimentation until I was able to awaken my sexual self, hence the name of the course. So in answer to your original question, you know, what sort of effect has this had on my teaching? I suppose I've been there and I've done that. I understand the frustration and the fear about taboo topics like depression, like sex. Yep. And I'm able to actually quash some of the misinformation out there. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 years ago, I returned an abnormal pap smear result. And so I was diagnosed as being the stage before cancer. Now, the doctors wanted to operate immediately because I was in the high-risk category. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as they explained, that operation could have actually left me unable to conceive. Yep. I decided, because I do prefer the natural approach, to use my own techniques that I teach in my courses to clear the mental and emotional cause of the illness, as well as incorporating the jade egg practice to help draw that illness out of the vagina.
Yep.
And 3 months later, I returned to my doctor and was given a clean bill of health. And wow. The doctor actually claimed it had been a miracle. So, you know, I'm able to use my personal experiences to show others how they can heal themselves. And I believe that's really empowering because it gives people hope and a tried and tested method on how to heal themselves both mentally and physically.
And I think it's evident as well that there's a very strong connection between our mental selves and our physical selves. You can't have one in perfect health and the other struggling. So it's all about maintaining that balance.
Yeah, because when we have a thought, it triggers a chemical response in the body. So if that thought is positive, it means that our body will be healthy. If that thought is negative, it will create illness and disease in the body. And, you know, if you look at how many people have negative mind chatter going on, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'll never be able to do that, I don't account to anything, that sort of stuff, you're making the body sick.
Yes, definitely. And there is nothing more positive than a full body orgasm.
Oh, yes.
So one of the things I'd like to ask you, you said that you've touched the lives of thousands of people and you help them to come to a self-awareness and a self-love and a self-understanding. In your experiences, what have the attitudes been of these people when they first approach you towards sex and sexuality in Australia? Do you feel that there is still a stigma and a taboo about sex in our country?
Yeah, it's huge. There's fear, there's shame, there is the taboo, and I believe there's a huge lack of information available too. You know, in school we get taught you have a penis and you have a hole. And the faster and harder you go, the better. You know, perhaps you get warned about the dangers of getting crabs or making a baby. Mm-hmm. But that's generally as far as sex education goes in Australia, well, in most parts of the world. And sex, because of this, it's still such a taboo topic. People are just too scared to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not talking about something, chances are when issues come up, you don't feel comfy discussing them or seeking help. And this has led to a lot of sexual experiences that leave people mentally and physically wounded, not to mention, you know, just unsatisfied. And this is really disappointing because, like I said, sex can be healing. Yes. And if we look at women, you know, most women have trouble orgasming during intercourse. You know, they need external stimulation of the clitoris in order to climax. And while they may feel a lot of moving about when a penis is inside them, very rarely do they actually feel pleasure. Yes. And the reason for this is because most women's vaginal canals, they're actually quite numb. Mm-hmm. And this is where I introduce women to the jade egg practice, which is a really beautiful self-loving practice that originated 5,000 years ago in China. And it was, it goes back. And it was used to help awaken the vagina to pleasure while keeping a woman's sexual organs tight and resilient. Mm-hmm. Not many women realize that they can actually wake up their vagina so it can not only have G-spot orgasms and full body cervical orgasms, but they can essentially separate the vaginal canal into six different quadrants and learn how to contract and release those quadrants independent of each other.
Wow.
It sounds
like a real training regime.
But it's not like a gym activity. It's a really self-loving, you know, almost like a meditation. I believe it's like a cross between meditation and yoga because the movements are really gentle, but the benefits that you get being able to rev up that sexual energy and, you know, essentially learn how to play your partner's penis like a flute, those results, they're amazing. And the other thing that, you know, women aren't educated on is the importance of keeping their vagina healthy and active. Mm-hmm. Autopsies done on nuns actually show that their sexual organs were completely rotted out due to non-use. Mm-hmm. So if women don't exercise their pelvic floor area, and I'm not talking about using Kegels because Kegels don't actually work. You need something that creates resistance, and the jade egg offers that resistance. Mm-hmm. Not only will you be able to return the vagina to its former elasticity after childbirth and, you know, avoid incontinence issues, you'll be able to keep the entire reproductive system in tip-top health, so you lubricate naturally and you don't end up with, like, you know, prolapsed uteruses and, you know, cancers of the sexual organs, which are really prevalent in older age.
And particularly when these things are not only avoidable through care of your own body, but they're also avoidable in an incredibly pleasurable way.
Exactly. Who wouldn't want to be revving up that sexual energy and having a really sentient vagina?
And it's a fantastic excuse. I do have to have sex at least 5 times a week for my own health.
Yep. I love it.
Now, there's one other thing that, just listening to you speak just then, do you find that a lot of women in particular are coming to you with an idea in their head of how they are supposed to be sexually? That Cosmo magazine promoted, this is how I should be orgasming, this is how I should be feeling, this is how I should be behaving in the bedroom. Do you feel that women are coming to you confused that they're not adhering to the normalization that's been sort of promoted through sex and media?
Yeah, you know, I can't stretch into that really gymnastic move. So, you know, I'm not living up to the expectations that porn sets.
I can't do the wheel arrow.
That's it, you know. There's so many negative images around sex, and I'm not saying that porn is a bad thing, but I am saying that you don't want to be basing your sexual real life experiences on porn because they were never meant to be an instructional guide. They're for entertainment purposes only. Yes. And even when it comes to entertainment, essentially, if you're using porn to arouse you, you're disconnecting from your body. It creates a disassociation. Yes. So that's just something to keep in mind as well. But the one thing I suppose I could say to women in this situation is it's not about how many positions you can do. It's not about, you know, having vaginal gymnastics or, you know, anything like this. It's literally about being connected to yourself, having a really deep self-love and nurturing that part of you. And when you have that type of connection, you're naturally going to be guided to do what feels good for you. Yeah. So, you know, in the course that I teach, I don't teach a heap of different positions. I teach you how to awaken your body so it feels more with less.
Yes. Do you find that, particularly around the genitals, do you find that body image is something that affects people who come to you?
Yeah, you know, you've seen the increase in the people that are having, you know, plastic surgery on their vaginas.
Labiaplasty and,
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, you don't get shown pictures of vaginas and so you don't actually know what your vagina should look like. Not that it should look like a, you know, a particular way.
Mm.
But if you were to actually look at most women's vaginas, and there's this beautiful book that, a guy by Andrew Barnes has, published, and I think there's like, you know, 50 or 100 women's vaginas in there.
Yeah.
And you see that they come in all different shapes and sizes.
And colours as well.
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, most women's labias, they don't match. One's longer than the other or it's a little bit stubbier than the other. And that is completely normal. Mm-hmm. So we've created this image in our head that everything needs to be perfect, just as like, you know, we see those size 6 models on billboards and we go, oh, that's the perfect body and that's what I should look like.
Yes.
When that's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. You should look like however you want to look and stop comparing yourselves to others.
Definitely, definitely. Now, with the people that you've worked with and being able to sort of be with them on this sexual awakening, how have you seen the effects of what happens throughout their entire lives when they start to accept themselves sexually for who they are and start to have that self-love in their life?
It's huge. So our sex life is just a reflection of our day-to-day life. They are so intertwined. And to give you an example of this, if you feel body conscious in sex, then chances are you'll be body conscious on the street.
Yes.
If you like to rush sex, chances are you like to rush through life, never really being present, too focused on reaching the destination to actually slow down and enjoy the journey. And we see this with people, you know, their aim is to get to orgasm instead of realizing, hold on, I can be having an orgasmic experience as opposed to just one single peak. Mm-hmm. And like I teach in my sexual self course, you can actually use sex as a vehicle for self-healing and self-realization. Yes. And when you start to tune into what's really going on for you, you're able to clear out a lot of mental and emotional scarring you've taken on over your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And this sexual programming can come about in all different sorts of ways. You know, for some people, they'll have experienced some sort of sexual abuse or negative sexual experiences, even a traumatic birth, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a guy had trouble getting an erection during a teenage sexual experience with a partner who then mocked him about that,
yes,
this can lead to erectile dysfunction in his adult life. And a man with erectile dysfunction issue, he's likely to experience low confidence. Perhaps because of this issue, he tries to overcompensate in other ways, striving for the bigger house, the bigger pay packet, the fancier
yes
car,
yes,
all so he feels good enough within himself. So, you know, if someone feels comfortable with their sexual self and is really connected to their own pleasure, generally the rest of their life is pretty sweet. You know, they'll be in the flow of life as opposed to swimming against the tide, which can often be the case for people who are experiencing that stuckness.
Yes. Do you feel that sex and sexual awakening, it's not, I guess the best way to put it is it's not just sex. It's about connecting with every aspect of your own self?
It's interesting because when it comes to the word sex, you know, what does that mean? And for a lot of people, they go, oh, it's intercourse. It's when, you know, you penetrate another person.
Yes.
But I don't see it that way. I see the moment that you wake up and you kiss your partner, that's when sex begins. You know, we have this sexual energy running through us. It's our life force energy. It's what creates new life. And it's what gets us up out of bed every morning. And it's about getting that sexual energy to be purring throughout your day, not just so then that you can go and, you know, have a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, with your partner at random times, but just so then that you just feel that aliveness from inside and it's just constantly there, that purr. I don't know if that answered your question, but...
No, it did. I think it's a lovely way to think of it, that sex, the act of sex is the one that gives us life. And creates life, and because of that, I think to think of sex as that life energy is a very nice way to think of it.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have to be ejecting it out of ourselves either, because we see men, you know, ejaculating, whereas if a man actually learns how to circulate his energy, he can have orgasm after orgasm after orgasm without actually coming. And so he can have those multiple and full body orgasms and use that energy to actually revitalize him. And if we look back at the Taoist philosophies, that's the way that a man lives longer and has a much healthier and stronger life.
Yes, definitely. And I think there's no harm that can ever become with learning more about your own physical body. I mean, we only get one, so it's definitely learn all of the ins and outs, if you will.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people don't actually take the time to play with their body, to be with their body. It's our vehicle that we get around with, but people are very disconnected from it. And, you know, if we look at when illness begins, there are little trigger signs, but if we're too busy putting rubbishy food in our body or rushing from one event to the next to the next to the next, never slowing down to be still with our body, we miss those signals, and then before we know it, we've been diagnosed with some sort of cancer. Mm-hmm. So it's really about learning to get back into the body and actually, you know, listen to the signs and the signals that our body is trying to communicate to us. And when we do that, then we can be happy, we can be healthy, we can enjoy those amazingly yummy orgasms.
The full body ones.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. So at the moment you're promoting most of your work through Getting Naked, and I know that you do a lot of work as well in trying to connect with people who might be feeling a little bit lost or a bit overwhelmed, as it were, with their sexuality. For someone who's coming to you who feels the burden of that guilt and shame and stigma, what do you offer to them to be able to ensure that their journey is going to be one that's going to be comfortable and open and non-judgmental?
The first thing that I would say is realize that you're not alone, because the majority of people in this world have sexual issues.
Yes.
It's just that people don't talk about it. So my suggestion is start opening the lines of communication with your partner, with your friends. Most people want to talk about this stuff, but they're just too scared. And, you know, when it comes to my courses, you know, you do them in a really safe space. It's all done via teleconference. Mm-hmm. So while it's a group situation, it's all over the phone. So you get to keep your privacy and you do the practices in your own space. And, you know, what I do teach, it's all done in a really nurturing way. Mm-hmm. You know, most people that do sessions with me, they're like, they can't wait for the session because they're like, it's so fun. I'm not your typical therapist where we just talk about the issue. The techniques that I use, it gets rid of those personal blocks very, very quickly.
Yes.
And you're left feeling much lighter and uplifted afterwards. And you know, once you do start to get comfy connecting in with your sexual self, which is, you know, what I'd help you do was, because that ultimately it's the biggest problem for most people. They've been conditioned to think about sex in a certain way. And like I said, you've been programmed, and this programming is what gets in the way of you sinking deep into your pleasure. And every person can enjoy not only G-spot orgasms, but nipplegasms and those full body energetic orgasms. You can have a toegasm if you awoken the sexual energy in that area. It really is just a case of clearing the beliefs that would have you think otherwise, while at the same time awakening yourself to what's possible.
Definitely. Oh, that sounds fantastic. From your own experience and your experience with how Australian culture addresses sex and sexuality and how the problems that people are coming to you with, where those problems are originating, where do you think we as a culture need to start focusing? Where do you think we need to start shining a light so that we can better understand ourselves and our sexual selves?
We need to stop focusing on the external and start focusing on the internal, because when someone seeks happiness, they go outside. If they seek love, they go outside. Oh, once I get that boyfriend, then I'm going to feel loved. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? If you don't love yourself, you're not going to feel loved once you get that partner. Mm-hmm. And it's all about coming inside and going, what do I need to create within myself? What are the mental blocks? What's the subconscious programming that I need to clear so I can have that self-love? And if people stop focusing on the external, come back inside, that's where they're going to find their answers. You don't want to, you know, you see a lot of people going, oh, there's gurus out there and all these people. Well, you know what? We can be our own guru as long as you learn how to have that connection to yourself, so then you can get all the right answers that are good for you. And that's what my Remarkable Relationships course teaches, is how to have that deep connection with you, so then that you no longer need to seek external validation or external advice in order for you to be happy with just you.
Sounds fantastic. What would you, your personal opinion, where do you think that your own sexual journey is going next?
You know what? I have no idea. And I don't feel I need to have an idea, because I figure that if I try and sway it in a particular way, it will limit me.
Yes.
So my approach is, every sexual experience, I go in with a completely open mind.
Mm-hmm.
I feel into my body and I let myself be guided to see what happens, because I believe that all sorts of things are possible that I haven't even heard of yet.
Yes.
So I want to experience those. So, yeah, ask me in a year and I'll tell you what else I've found.
That's fantastic. I like that answer. That's a very good answer. Have you felt, whilst working through your practice and whilst working with people, have you felt that there are certain areas of sexuality and stigma that really haven't started to be looked at, or that you yourself are interested in looking at being able to help in particular areas that you've not yet delved into? For example, I was thinking people who have an alternate sexuality, or people who are practices of BDSM, or even of open relationships.
I've done a lot of exploration, not necessarily using myself as a guinea pig in all of those, but as you will read in my second book, Getting Naked, The Dating Game, I did have a girl-on-girl experience because I was curious. I wanted to know what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been to a lot of workshops and things like that on BDSM, but essentially what I believe is that when you connect with yourself, like I've been saying, that you're able to explore these things without the stigma, I suppose you would say. Because BDSM, if we look at some of the really simple things, it's by being blindfolded. And essentially that's just taking one of your senses away, because it heightens the other senses.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there any really real big reason to have a stigma around blindfolding someone or touching them with a feather to create different sensation? You know, they do go this extreme with whipping and, you know, tying people in ropes and all that sort of stuff. But there's a really soft element of some of those practices that can be really beautiful and can really awaken you in a new way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've forgotten the question that you asked.
Well, basically, I was just asking if you yourself, because of your own sexual journey, being one of exploring the things that you yourself are interested in and you yourself are curious in, was just asking if there were any elements outside of, I guess we could say, your own persuasion that you would be interested in helping others address, I guess? Or even, do you find that it's something that you, because it's not something that you yourself feel that you want to go on that journey for, is that something that you wouldn't necessarily like to instruct people on?
I'm open to anyone exploring whatever they want, and I will guide them in that direction, even if I'm not completely au fait with that whole practice.
Yep.
That said, I'd look at the motivations for them wanting to do certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, there is the big issue with polygamy. You know, is it okay to be in an open relationship and to be having sex with many different people, or should I be in a monogamous relationship? And I did go through a time where I questioned, am I in a monogamous relationship because society says I should be, mm-hmm. or because I choose to be? Mm-hmm. And when I really felt into it, I went, you know what? No, that's what I want right now. And who knows what I might want in 20 years' time, but right yes. now that feels good. Because there are lessons to be learnt when you are in a monogamous relationship, because your partner is always reflecting back on you all the stuff that you've got going on internally. Mm-hmm. But there's also lessons to be learnt in a polyamorous situation as well, because it takes a lot of trust, and it takes, you know, if you've got mm-hmm. jealousy issues, it's going to bring all of those up to the surface so then that you can work through those.
Yes.
So I don't believe that any of these areas of sexuality are good or bad or preferred or anything like that. It's all about what can I learn?
Yes.
And if I can learn something through exploring that, well, then that's a positive.
Yes, definitely. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your interview today, Tamar.
Pleasure. Thank you. Great questions.
Oh, thank you. Is there anything that you feel that you would like to pass on to our sex ed readers?
My one big message just is nurture your relationship with you. Mm-hmm. Really listen to yourself. Take the time to be still, because that's where you're going to get all that clarity and the insights that you need to really connect in with your sexual self, and just to connect in with yourself as a whole. Mm-hmm. And that would be my big message, because once you're able to just feel yourself as opposed to thinking about yourself, that's when you're able to start really sinking into those yummy orgasms, but also a deeper sense of self and a deeper self-love.
I think that's an excellent message for all of our readers.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I've learned so much.
Beautiful.
I'm actually really interested in this jade egg practice now.
Oh, the jade egg. Seriously, it's a woman's best friend.
And I'm going to have to do a bit of exploration.
I believe it's better than diamonds. Every woman should have one.
I think I look better in jade anyway.
Yes, nice.